Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We want to reward those states, those districts, those nonprofits that are willing to challenge the status quo and get dramatically better. Close the achievement gap and raise the bar for everybody.
Well, that's Arnie Duncan, the Education Commissioner, Education Secretary of the United States, talking on Meet the Press yesterday. And as we discussed last week, the Obama administration is releasing billions of dollars in education grants for states that get with his education reform program. The program and the grants are called Race to the Top. New York State could get as much as $700 million in the first round of Race to the Top money if it qualifies. But there's the rub. One of the Obama rules is that states must base teacher pay somewhat on performance. But New York State law currently prohibits that for making teacher tenure decisions. But wait, New York State Board of Regents Chair Merrill Tisch is here to argue that New York does qualify. She is officially releasing New York's application today, we are told, along with an overhaul of the way teachers are trained. Ms. Tisch, so nice of you to do this as you're getting ready for your release. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't tell you how lucky I feel to be on your show, Brian. I've been a longtime fan.
Thank you so much. Is New York State applying for a Race to the Top grant?
Yes, we plan to apply in round one, so our application will be due in January. From our best intelligence, we understand that applications that are put in January, the first round of grants will be awarded in April. So we are eagerly working on putting together a really, I think, kind of groundbreaking application. We hope that our leadership in a variety of categories will lead the way for New York to be one of the grantees.
We've had several guests on over the last few weeks who've said that, in their opinion, New York State will not qualify for that grant because teacher pay is not tied to performance. Mm-hmm. Do you think New York State law does not disqualify the state?
If I could, a moment of background on that particular law. There was a very nasty, contentious argument between a local school union leader in New York State, particularly in New York City at the time, and the local superintendent, Joel Klein. As a result of that particular debate, the legislature put in place a law that prohibits the use of test scores in determining teacher tenure. That law is due to sunset in June of 2010. We believe there is no legislative appetite, nor is there appetite in the union world to actually prolong that law. So we are very confident that that law will sunset.
Do the Race to the Top criteria also demand, though, that individual teachers be assessed by student test scores?
Yes. Now, let me get to that point, if I might. The Race to the Top application talks about the ability to evaluate teachers based on student performance. The New York State Board of Regents believes in that, and for the past 18 months, we have been working diligently on putting together a data system that will actually produce the ability across New York State to link teacher performance with student outcomes. We do not believe that this tenure law, as it exists today, prohibits the use of using student outcomes when evaluating teachers. Teachers in this state and across this large state are evaluated yearly. Student outcomes in many localities is an indicator for teacher performance. So while there is this tenure prohibition, we believe that the RFP put out by the federal government last week talks specifically to the area of teacher evaluation, where we do not believe there is anything on the books of state law that prohibits such an evaluation.
And with respect to the teacher contracts as they exist, my understanding of the UFT contract, at least in New York City, is that test scores can be used to evaluate teachers on the basis of the whole school but not individual teachers. Is that accurate, and is that going to be enough for the federal government?
That is an accurate portrayal of what's going on in New York City. You're talking about the issue of merit pay, and merit pay is something that is negotiated at the local level between the local union and the mayor in New York City, or whoever it is responsible for those types of negotiations across state districts. That has really, the Board of Regents is not a legislative body, and we do not get into the areas of collective bargaining. We leave that up to localities. However, as part of our application of Race to the Top, we will be speaking very specifically to the use of differential pay, which would allow us to pay math teachers, science teachers, and other shortage areas, people who teach limited English proficient youngsters, people who teach high need youngsters. We are specifically going to push for the concept of differential pay at the heart of our application.
Do you already have an indication from Arnie Duncan or anyone else that New York's application will be acceptable on those grounds, at least not disqualified on the basis of those grounds?
Yes, we have had conversations with the secretary, and he has assured us in New York that we are not disqualified. It's a competitive process. There is nothing that has been indicated to us at this moment to date that would disqualify New York from applying.
Meryl Tisch, my guest on WNYC, the New York State Board of Regents chair, and we can take some phone calls for her. I realize school is in, but maybe some teachers in your, you know, on your prep period. I know teachers listen on your prep periods. So you can call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Are you ready for that kind of evaluation to be part of your future in New York or anyone else? 212-433-9692, parents or anyone. And we're going to talk about teacher training now as a part of this.
Great.
But our phones are open, 212-433-9692 for the Board of Regents chair. On teacher training, you're trying to bypass the schools of education, it looks like, or at least create multiple paths to certification in your announcement today, yes?
Yes. Well, bypass is a very strong word. What we're trying to do is recognize a problem in preparation of teachers. We want teachers to go into classrooms across this state fully prepared to do the work that they need to do. And what we're trying to do is move to a clinically based certification process so that teachers, young teachers, before they are certified, would have the ability to be part of classroom work as the heart of their preparation, not as an afterthought to their preparation. We hear from school leaders across this state that oftentimes teachers come into their schools and then they need to be retrained to have the tools necessary to deal with the populations and the different challenges that are part of everyday teaching. I know that as part of my own teacher preparation, which I did 24 years ago, I felt after I came out of a teacher preparation program that while I had pedagogical understanding, I lacked practical understanding of what it meant to be in front of a classroom, and we're trying to address that.
So you're looking for more classroom time rather than book learning to prepare teachers?
We are looking to break down the barriers between excellent preparation and the functionality of schools and teachers and school leaders. Everyone keeps coming to us with the same frustration, and today we are embarking on something that I think is going to be a loud clarion for change.
How much of a problem do you see in New York with teacher quality in high poverty schools and other high need schools? And can anything be done to address that in this training overhaul?
Well, what we are specifically going to focus on is we are going to ask all of our partners, including the schools of education and including these other non-traditional certification possibilities, to look at the needs that we have to prepare high-functioning teachers and send them to the most high-need districts, high-need schools across this state. It has been a problem that has been begging for a solution for decades. And when you look at the graduation rates in the high-need school districts, when you look at the fact that limited English proficient youngsters, only 22% of them are graduating in New York City, we understand that we are not preparing teachers to meet this challenge. It is something that we need to address. It is an emergency, and that is why we are putting out what we consider is a very thoughtful proposal today about a direction in which we would like to go to address these problems once and for all.
Will it mean more incentives, higher pay, to get some of the best teachers into the hardest schools to teach in?
It is at the heart of what we are looking at. It is an idea, I believe, whose time has come.
Can you give me an example? Put numbers to it, even?
You know, I believe that actually these, it's not my place to put numbers to it, but I believe that we are going to be asking for the federal government to give us money to allow us to do this in a productive and thoughtful way.
Is that what the Race to the Top money would be used for in part? And would that money in general be earmarked for certain things?
Yes. The Race to the Top is very specific. Even though it's a 700-page RFP, it is a unique document in that it focuses very specifically and very directly on four assurance areas: building a data system, defining or redefining teacher quality and teacher preparation, aligning standards and curriculum with assessments, and finally, replacing schools, replacing the bottom 5% of schools in our state, which have been perennially failing and which we can no longer argue about closing. And so we are looking towards that replacement strategy as another essential element to our Race to the Top application.
New York State Board of Regents chair. By the way, is it chair or chancellor?
I'm actually chancellor.
Chancellor. So you're a chancellor, Merrill Tisch, forgive me, head of the New York State Board of Regents. And Abby in Borham Hill, I think, is one of those teachers on her prep period. Is that right?
I am. Yes,
hi,
I am.
Abby.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, delighted. I love speaking to teachers.
I had two issues that I wanted to bring up about tying teacher pay to student outcomes. Mm-hmm. I think that the New York State test results, as compared to the national test results, pointed out this year that there are real discrepancies in what the tests are testing. Mm-hmm. And once you start using that as a big indicator of what's going on in the classroom, I think we've seen that the tests aren't necessarily accurately testing progress in specific areas.
Mm-hmm.
I think another issue is that in the classroom, what the teachers do with the students is, of course, very important, but it's also a product of curricula that administrators buy and teaching policies that administrators put in place. So I think putting the student outcomes solely on the shoulders of the teachers, when often they're restrained or at least put in one direction by what their administration chooses for them to teach, is not really looking at the whole situation.
Abby, I couldn't agree with you more. We don't believe that student outcomes are the sole barometer for teacher effectiveness. We believe it is one of the issues that need to be looked at when you evaluate teachers, but not the only one. As to the issue of the state tests, Abby, I think, as you know, I have been fairly vocal, as has our new commissioner, on the subject of the state tests. We are not pleased at all with the quality of the exams. We are not pleased at all with the predictability of the exams, and therefore we are not satisfied that the outcomes that we have reported in New York State over the last 2 years really indicate what's going on across the state. We have committed ourselves to fixing the state tests to make them more reliable, less predictable, to giving parents and school administrators and teachers and leaders across this state a much more accurate snapshot of what's going on in the classrooms.
Abby, can
so
I ask you, how long have you been teaching?
4 years. And in the public schools and 2 years in private school before
so
that.
So I don't know if that's long enough to see any change, but have you seen the state tests get easier over your time?
I've seen the state tests. I'm an ELA teacher, an English teacher.
What grade?
And I've seen 6th, 7th, and 8th middle mm-hmm. school. And I've seen that the state, to me, the state tests, the level of them seem pretty even across the years. However, how they're graded seems to get easier and easier. So I see that students are able to get higher scores on the test by producing less. There's a lot of writing elements where it's not just right or wrong, multiple choice. And even when you go to grade the tests, the standards for giving a student a failing or a low grade are so stringent that if you want to give a student a 0 out of 4 or a 1 out of 4, that process is so difficult. So many teachers have to agree with you that to really fail a student on the state test is very, very difficult.
It's hard work.
Abby, thank you for taking some of your time out of the classroom to call the show and talk about these things. I think this counts as prep.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. And what about the test? I mean, the most stark way to put it, Chancellor, and Arnie Duncan put it this way when he was on the show this summer, that the pass rates have been going up in recent years, and he didn't single New York State out by name, but he didn't say it was immune either. State test score is going up, but the percentage failing the national test, the NAEP, is the same. So are New York's tests a sham?
No, I wouldn't say they were a sham. I think that is harsh. I would say what I would say is that the level of predictability has become a problem for us. Let me explain if I might. Let's say a third grade math curriculum has 12 different subjects that you're supposed to teach in the third grade. If every year the state tests only taught the same two and left out the other 10, then what you're producing is an exam that doesn't cover a curriculum, nor does it encourage the teaching of the entire curriculum. We've done a couple of things right out of the bat over the last 3 months. We've moved the test date. Instead of testing in January and March, we're going to be testing in May, which I think will encourage school districts to understand that we plan to test the entire curriculum. Additionally, we have moved to make the exams less predictable. Another issue that we're going to do, that we're going to address, is one that Abby points out. How we score and scale these exams, and these are very technical issues, has made it such that you cannot say that when a student is actually a level 3, we call it proficient. Yet we know that these same students at level 3 in 8th grade in this state only have a 52% chance of graduating high school 4 years later. So it means that proficient is not really proficient, and we're going to address that immediately this year.
If you move the test from March to May, I could just see teachers rolling their eyes in prep rooms all over the state right now thinking, oh, my God, that means I'm going to be teaching to the test all year instead of having these last few months off to do other things.
I believe that what this will do, frankly, I don't believe that assessments should rule curriculum. I believe that curriculum should guide assessments. And what we're going to try to do in this conversation across the state is make that abundantly clear. We believe that we are going to have conversations about curriculum and their role in the standards and their role in accurate assessments as the guideline. Curriculum is at the key. Curriculum and qualified teachers teaching in safe environments. This is the key to better outcomes.
We're just about out of time. I want to read one comment on our webpage that just came in from Jamel in Jamaica, another middle school teacher from Brooklyn. And Jamel writes, I don't have a problem with accountability as long as a range of assessments are used. I don't want my pay attached to a single test on a single day where a child may have a bad day. There also need to be considerations for the types of students that we teach. Several of my students have been homeless at one point or another. Three have had abusive parents. These things are out of my control.
Jamel is 100% accurate, and these are all going to become the complex parts of the conversations that we are now going to engage in as we talk about teacher preparation and as we talk about the next stage of assessments in New York State.
By the way, did you see the Times article recently on the front page with the little girl from the city on a school trip to a farm where she was experiencing barnyard animals so that they wouldn't throw her off when chickens and pigs and stuff came up in tests, test questions?
I did. I saw it, and I, you know, the cultural bias as well as the other biases of testing is a very important consideration. And while that, I must say, was a new one to us, the whole issue has not been foreign to us, and we will be looking to that as part of our overall improvement of the assessment.
Merrill Tisch, the New York State Board of Regents Chancellor. This could be an historic day for New York as she releases teacher training overhaul proposals for the Board of Regents to debate and gets ready to unveil the application for the Race to the Top grant. Thank you so much for coming
on. Thank you, Brian. Have a wonderful day and be well.
You too. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we will talk to the editor, the publisher, actually, of the Black Star News. He wrote an op-ed in the Daily News calling for action on African immigrant and African American tensions. Stay with us.